pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This is a roll call, please.
Lassiter.
Here.
Nemechek.
Here.
Conklin.
Here.
Moody.
Here.
Needhammer.
Here.
Quorum present.
Okay, moving along under the consent agenda. The purpose of the consent agenda is to expedite business by grouping non-controversial items together to be dealt with by one commission motion without discussion. Any member of the commission, staff, or the public may ask that any item or items on the consent agenda be removed and placed as the last item on a new business to receive full discussion. Such requests will be automatically respected. Is there anyone in the audience who has a question or comment about the consent agenda? Commissioners? If not, I think.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda with a correction for item A. It's just an error typo correction.
What would it be?
It's page 3, section 4. Jordan, there was a commissioner absent and Jessica put 5 A's. It should be 4 A's and 1 absent. So it's just a typo.
What would that change? Is there a second? Or correction, I should say?
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? All right. Moving along, we have citizens' comments on non-agenda items. So these would be citizens who wish to comment on something other than what's listed on the agenda.
Hi, I'm Sandy Pritchard, 26 East Lincoln. This has to do with communications, public communications. The example I'm going to use was the Harbridge traded their area for algae and various pesticides and what have you. And they do put a stake in the ground with a little, piece of paper that says how long, what the chemicals are and how they harm and what have you. And I suppose if you're planning to take your kids to the beach or whatever, you're going to be there before you see that. And I wondered, because several of these run for a period of days, and I guess I wondered if there was a way the city could help in getting the word out that the waters have been treated. I just think that folks, parents, might want to know before they're putting their kids in the water, or even myself, that what's been happening with the water. Because it isn't necessarily really apparent, you might not know until you got there. So this is a suggestion. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, can I answer that real quick?
Pardon me?
Can I comment on that?
Sure, sure.
Sandy, my son works at the Harbridge, and I can talk to the manager there and see if he can send the city an email when they do that. That's a good idea.
I'm just saying, so you can get it out maybe on the city website or right. Somehow get it into the various Facebook pages.
Sure.
Thank you.
No problem.
Mike, could you check to see if there's some notification that they need to give a nearby property owner, since we've got our park right there, they would have to notify that this is going to be happening?
Mayor, there was what triggered it was that there was actually one of those next to our little boat launch, and that's the only one I knew.
The little boat launch right here in Veterans Park.
So there's some kind of notifications coming out. I don't know. Thank you.
Anyone else on your citizens' comments?
When government determines your worth, America was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. That statement is factually accurate and cannot be denied. In God we trust allows us to attain e pluribus unum, out of many, one. The very reason America exists today is the fact that many people of many races and of many religions have sought the opportunity to be free. They sought to be free of the shackles of tyranny, to be free to dream their dreams in the greatest nation on the face of the earth, not submit to the whims of any person or group seeking advantage that allows them tyrannical dominion. The bedrock of this noble society, this great nation, is the nuclear family. That which has held us together as Americans these hundreds of years is the very same thing that has held us together as humans these many thousands of years. The nuclear family is generational, and all, from the newborn to the great-great-grandparents, deserve love and respect. However, what we are doing to our seniors, our generational fountains of life guidance and history, is exclusionary to the detriment of the upcoming generations. We are disengaging from generational love and respect and turning our backs on the knowledge and wisdom of our elders. We are inflicting great harm upon young and old alike as we lose a critical part of our humanity. In 2014, Pope Francis' message to the Pontifical Academy for Life at their meeting, Aging and Disability, talked about a tyrannical dominion which leads to the exclusion of, and at times even kills, the elderly. In America, we have turned our collective back on seniors and disabled persons. We created a warehouse culture. We put seniors and disabled persons away on a shelf to be taken out and played with, should we choose. But that's a choice that just doesn't happen. It is not simply about exploitation and oppression, but an out of sight, out of mind, who really cares anyway attitude. The Pope ended his message by noting that the most serious of deprivations experienced by seniors and disabled persons isn't the aging or the disability of one's body. It is abandonment, exclusion, and deprivation. We must do better. We are throwing away our greatest asset, our seniors, to the detriment of the young. When we push any segment of our society off the stage, we harm ourselves and our children, and we harm the very fabric of this great nation. It is time to reintroduce Boyne seniors and disabled persons to the community. It is time to make the needed adjustments, to be certain we include Boyne seniors and disabled persons in all aspects of community social interaction. It is crucial to our well-being, personally and collectively. It is time to refocus our attention and encourage our youth to engage with seniors and disabled persons. It will have numerous benefits for both young and old. I pray that we come to terms with our familial and communal responsibilities. I pray that we once again know the worth of our seniors and disabled persons, those we all too often choose to ignore. Thank you. God bless America.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. We can move on. The correspondence. We received an email of a proposed resolution from Sandra Kircher that was received at a previous city commission meeting. Any comments on that, Commissioner? There was a request by Sandra to have that on the agenda. Would we be interested in adding that to our agenda for the next meeting? Is anyone interested in doing that?
I'm not opposed to it, but I think the relevancy of it really is going to be determined by the conversation we have in the arena. So I don't know if the very next meeting would be the appropriate time to make an agenda item. But I'm not opposed to it at some point in time.
Future meeting.
Just had no problem with her words. You know, what she read the last month, it was, it's everything we're striving to do. So I don't, I've said it before, say it again. After 16 years on the school board, didn't believe in mission statements, didn't believe in, I don't believe in talk. I believe in walk. Believe in walk. Whereas.
I agree with Tim. I think today today's conversation may answer some of those points, and there's points on that resolution that I disagree with, so I don't mind it being an agenda item, but for the record, I've already stated some of those points that she wanted to make that I oppose, so.
Yeah, I think after discussion today, role business, that, you know, we may answer some of those questions and you know, consider putting on a future agenda after today's discussion.
All right, moving along, we have a city manager's report.
Just a couple items for today. We've hired a new executive assistant. Her name is Dawn Middleton, and she's scheduled to work on Monday, August 1st. We have the state primary election. That's next Tuesday, the 2nd. Polls for that position will be, or for that will be open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. And sample ballots are posted downstairs, not by the entrance, but at the front desk of the city offices. And then this weekend, on Saturday and Sunday, the office will be opening, will be open for the processing of ballots. And we'll do that from 8 a.m. till noon. There will be a celebration next Friday, August 5th, from 3 to 6 p.m. at the Veterans Park Pavilion. It'll be a celebration of John Lamont's 50 years in the EMS profession, 18 of those with us. His family's putting that together, and we're working with them on that. The community is invited and encouraged to attend. And if you have any questions on these or other items, I'd be glad to try and address them.
Commissioners, any questions? Mark?
So I have no problem with your choice for executive assistant. Mike, I guess we didn't really talk about this other than we knew that we needed to replace Barb. So this is replacing Barb completely?
We'll find out. She's interested in doing all aspects of the job, including the harbor master. And we'll get her introduced to that as well, too. We have Topper been working with us this year.
Okay, I guess, I don't know how the other commissioners feel, but I mean, if we're creating another whole position, then I'd like that discussion about it.
We're not creating another whole position at this point.
Well, we had one person doing two jobs, and now if you're telling me that this job is only going to be an executive assistant, then we need a harbor master.
No, what I tried to just say was that Dawn is interested in doing both.
What you just said. You said we're going to find out if she's interested in doing both.
Yes.
Yes, well. I'm not trying to start arguing.
No, neither am I.
I need a clear answer.
Yes. She is looking to be the harbor master and the executive assistant. One position, one person.
That's all you had to say, but that wasn't what you said. Okay.
Any other things, commissioners? Mike, I had a question about the library parking lot and request for proposal.
Yes.
That deadline has passed.
Yes, there's been one proposal that's been received, and they'll be beginning to review that shortly.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay. Moving on, we have the reports of officers, boards, and standing committees for financial statement of June 2022. Any questions or comments on that, commissioners?
Good.
Okay, moving on to the old business, item A, within the next steps. We do not have a formal amendment, but memo for this, so I'm going to get started, if you don't mind, commissioners, and then maybe if you'd like to comment after that, and then we can move to public comment, that might be one way we can proceed, if that's okay with you. I've done some thinking, and I've met several people since our last meeting, and there's three or four things that I kind of identified that we need to address, and I just like would like to go down that list. First, we need to apply to the Army Corps for a permit extension on the marina. That deadline is December of 2022. We need to meet with the Waterways Commission Grant Administrator to clarify the status of our approved grants, what options we might have given plans are in flux, and what commitments and restrictions come with being a grant in aid marina. We need to address the power issue immediately, either long-term or short-term, but we need to do that immediately, figure out a resolution or solution to that
for the near term at least. We need to meet with Adam Marsh to review where we are and the possibilities of new approaches. At the present time, I personally have decided on the ad hoc committee. At this point, I think the City Commission needs to more clearly define the boundaries so the work of the committee is more productive. And finally, I have a question about the ability of the staff to lead with all the turnover. Who's going to be the point person for much of this work that needs to be done in a short amount of time? So those are the issues I've identified. I don't know if the commission wants to chime in here or if you'd like to move to the public comment.
I can chime in.
Okay.
I agree that there's important individuals that are relevant that I would like to ask questions to in regards to our waste committee with being one, our Dimash being one. Kind of my mind right now, there's two options. Option A being there is no expansion plan, but there is a repair and upkeep project that is needed drastically. Curious in what that would cost and get those numbers from Arnage, potentially increasing slip capacity with an existing footprint. That would be a question for Arnage as well, that I would be interested in getting directly from them and not third party on. And the waterways grant, my concern as far as the grants, there's been a little bit of misclarity as far as those three potential grants, if they can only be utilized for a new project with increased slip capacity, or if they could be utilized during a new project fixing what we currently have without increasing slip capacity. I'd like that answer directly from the Waterways Committee and not third party on that information as well. And then the electrical, where I stand on that, is it needs to be addressed as soon as possible. Obviously, because we're going to be going into the winter season sooner than most realize. And we need the bubblers and everything working throughout the winter. The way I see that decision is we have two different options, going with Adam Mosh's numbers, estimates, and their partner engineering electrical firm with a very hefty price tag. If that is the option that we go with, I would like to know and see clearly financially, what portions of that project will be wasted. And when I say wasted, what I mean is what expenses are going to be repeat expense when we do the development or the repairs on the docks that are out there. So I have that financial number in front of me, specifically laid out by Arnage. And the second option of the electrical, which I would be more in favor of financially being fiscally responsible, would be if we can get an engineer stamp and having a local electrician, that would be the ideal situation. But those conversations need to be, we need to reach out to these local electricians and ask what they need from us as a municipal municipality and explore options and get that engineer stamp as soon as possible. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Sure. I agree with a lot of what Tim said, starting with the Army Corps for the extension. That makes sense, so we know what we're dealing with. We know timelines. If we need to extend, and have to file for that extension ASAP to take us into the following year, it buys us time. We need to know that, black and white. We need that date. Waterways Commission, yes, I agree with you, Hugh, that we need to know the status of the grant and what it can be applied for, timelines on it, and again, a black and white answer so that we can make that determination. Electrical, I have no problem going with local contractors or professional contractors from around the state that deal with municipal waterways. I think you're right. We get some bids and we understand how we can use that grant money to best get what's accomplished. I'm thinking we have to do the infrastructure to get the base that they talked about, a base out there with maybe 440 phase or three, or, you know, whatever phase we need, that's going to be the big cost. And from there, you branch out to your docks. But that's going to be the big infrastructure part. And if that grant would cover that part to get the electrical upgraded right to the marina, again, how much timeline can we get the parts? Are we going to use local? Are we going to try to use local or whatever? We're going for the best price and to get the job done timely. But again, we don't know that information until we really lock down that. And you're right, Abbott Marsh is who we've worked with for 20 years. They have the engineers that understand the electrical. If they are the ones that are going to give us the answer, so be it. I agree with you that Abbott Marsh is who we've used, and they can answer what can we do within the footprint. I agree with Tim, expansion within the footprint makes total sense. So, and I've stated that before, if we can not increase the boundary of the break wall, the floatable break wall, and if we can reconfigure some dockage, can we accomplish A, replacement, B, expansion, and C, all the upgrades, electrical and water and everything that goes with it. Can we accomplish all of that? Who's going to give us that answer? Abbott Marsh. And again, as I stated a month ago, the urgency of that decision is critical because that plays into what grants can we use. I agree with a staff point person, which should be Mike Kane, and maybe our new person also, but I think that before we even create an ad hoc committee that we need these answers. I think these answers would, maybe we don't need an ad hoc committee because these answers would tell us a direction, a timeline, and a cost. Those are what we're looking for. And variables within the footprint. Can we do an expansion? Unfortunately, since last month, we're the same spot we were before. And the price tag, I don't think is going to be much different. And the only thing we lost was the opportunity for grant money. So now, unfortunately, this may fall, the price tag may fall on the taxpayers or some other creative way of doing this. We'll solve that problem too. So a sixth point might be we involve also our cost person, our financial consultant, and he can guide us financially to option A, B, and C. And so we put all this information together, and I think we're going to come up with some black and white answers, and that's what we want, that's what the community wants, and that's what we need to make an informed decision, is these answers. If you choose, Mr. Mayor, to go with an ad hoc committee, I agree. But these are still the answers either tasked to us in administration or tasked to the ad hoc committee. I don't care. I think we can do it more efficiently and more quickly. No matter what we do, I think that the sense of urgency is there to get these answers. If that means meeting with an engineer, the five of us, plus staff, ASAP, that means Zoom meeting, that's fine, I don't care, but we need these answers quickly. Same with all 5 points. The Waterways Commission, the electrical point person for the electrical, and the point person for Army Corps, we need to meet with them ASAP. So, in conclusion, I think you're on the right track, Mr. Mayor. I think Tim and I confirmed a lot of your points, and the sense of urgency is there to get black and white answers, options, price tags for option A, B, C, and D.
Thanks, Tom. George?
Yeah, just 2 points. I think I'd like to have a definite description of what the current footprint of the marina is. I think we need to have that black and white. So we get down to a road of we're not going to expand, we're going to keep the same footprint, we know exactly what we're talking about. The second point is, as far as the electrical, fixing the electrical, which, you know, maybe temporary to get it up and running for maybe next year, I'd like to have Kevin Schleckow, the electrical inspector, if he's the final say on what's legal for us to have to fix, you know, what's broken to get it up and running, so it's legal for, you know, assuming next year. I'd like to have him here to tell us what really needs to be done. If he's able to do that, I'm not sure. But I think that's good to have, knowing that that's going to probably be a temporary fix on a temporary dock.
Okay. Thanks, George. Martin?
Yep, I have no problem with what's been said, with the exception of Tommy kind of, you know, stated that about the marina. The problem is that there aren't any grant funds for rebuilding. There's grant funds for expansion. So we've been told. If that's different, I'd love to find that out. But that's not what the two of you were told. That's not what the rest of us have been told since, you know, since we've been sitting here for 9 months. So that part, I think, is a moot point. The one thing that I was I talked with, was here for about an hour and a half after the last meeting, and was talking with a few people that were here when we were looking at the map and stuff. I think one option, I told you this, I think one option that we might have as a rebuild, you know, new thing, is E-Dock was going to be a complete rebuild. Because right now, it's called E-Dock for a reason. It actually looks like it. You know, but that one could, the proposal was to build that going out with the new proposal. I think that would be an option to take some of our grant money that we've got for the marina and, you know, start making repairs or replacement repairs and live within our means. So that's the one thing on that. As far as the electrical aspect, we've talked a lot about this. I understand what George said, and I don't know that, you know, that we're going to get Kevin here to sit and say, well, if we do this, then, you know, I'll sign off. I think it's more of, hey, here's what I need, and I'll let you go for a little while. And that's what I've been seeing for the last couple of months, is that there's no sense in going with Avanmars, you know, almost $100,000 fix when we can get it, when we can put enough of the Band-Aid on it to get us to limp us through until we know what we're doing with this marina base. I would love to sit down, you know, and talk, you know, with the Army Corps about, you know, extensions and everything like that. I have no problem with that. We talk a lot about Avanmars. You know what? They've been at this for a long time. You know, maybe narrow that to once. Maybe we look at another option. And I have no problem sitting down and talking with them and saying, okay, you know, if we do just this and this, what, you know, where are we going to be at? It's nice to hear, you know, the words that, okay, I guess we're not going to move the attenuators out. And I guess we're going to live within the marina basin. There you go. That's something that we've not come up with. So I don't have a problem with that. I think, again, the way that the marina was going to be laid out, could be laid out, you're still going to be able to gain a few slips and everything. And I think if we change our focus off of worrying about having 60 and 80 foot slips, even though, you know, as Barb would say, well, an 80-foot slip, I can park three boats in it. I get it. But, you know, I think reconfiguring for, you know, more what this is supposed to be, a public marina, I think is a little bit more practical. Sure, there's somebody out there that's got a 60 and 80-foot boat that's going, I wish this idiot shut up, but it doesn't matter. I think again, you know, this is, we're kind of losing sight of what this marina has been and should be. The one thing that I talked to you about, Hugh, what we've got to do is we've got to do this before the end of next month. And we've got to sit down and we've got to set out our rates for next year. Because if we don't, then it's a real pickle to try to change. And I think our rates are, quite frankly, on the ridiculous side. And I think that it, you know, if we're going to try to work and rebuild this marina, there's no way that we can where we're at moving forward. And it, you don't have to take my word for it. You can just look around and look at what a boat slip costs. Not just in Boyne, in East Jordan, in Charlevoix, in the area. You can't buy a boat slip for under about $4,000 a foot right now, which might be ridiculous for a lot of people, and it is. But the point is that well, we've been subsidizing this marina forever, and that's the ludicrous part. Is that you can rent these slips for next to nothing compared to what you know it would cost to own it. And any of them that you own, you still have dues and fees and everything. So we definitely have to look at our rate structure. And again, we've only got next month to do that. So we definitely need to get it together on that as well. I think that was the majority of what you said. The ad hoc committee, I'm not saying I'm all for it, I'm not saying I'm all against it. I think that I'm worried about, I think Tom said it, I'm worried about the bogging down of the time. And I'd rather try to get to a direction and a decision and then pack a room and have them tell us why they disagree with it. I think that's a better way to try to get a direction, I guess is what I'm saying. So those are the main talking points that I got. I Tim said about meeting some of these people that have had stake in it in the past and everything like that. IED, Abby Marsh, and others. So I have no problem with that, but it's we gotta move a lot faster than we've been, and the top on the list is getting the electric thing taken care of, and we've got the local contractors that say, hey, look, we can do that. We've got the county contractor that said, if you do this, and that build is about wasn't even a third of what happened.
Couple clarifications, Marty. Mm-hmm. Just two comments. One is, you said our rates are ridiculous. I didn't know if you meant high or low.
No.
You said low. But our rates are regulated by the state. Would they give us a window?
Yeah. No, I got it. And we're a third of the way up the window.
We're two-thirds of the way up the window. Okay, so second point. Is you said that we've been subsidizing the marina forever. According to my interpretation of the financials, is that we made this a line item at least 12 years ago, Mike, and it's been solely self-sufficient. So we have not been subsidizing.
We've had that argument. If it's been self-sufficient, then why are we in the pickle that we're in? It hasn't, Tom. And the other aspect of it is we had this in the budget, in our budget discussion. We don't even have a salary that's in there, So you go pulling that out. I mean,
I don't need to get in an argument with you right now, but it's not, and you know it's not. And does it make a little bit of money, quote unquote? Yes, but obviously we haven't poured any of that money other than, you know, a few repairs here and there, because we've been betting on the wrong horse for 15 years. That's the biggest problem. So I want to bet on a different horse.
Well, we can agree to disagree, so.
Okay, well, we can move to public
comment. I got just 2 points of clarification. When I'm saying third-party answers through, like, Waterways Grant, my biggest concern is finding out if these grants can be used for new construction only or redeveloping. Where I'm using this terminology of third party is, beginning of December, I was told as a commissioner that it is not possible for it to be a ballot issue by three different attorneys. Asking the right questions finally got us to the correct answer of it can be on a ballot, a specific way. I've also been told that the design cannot be modified once that grant process starts, but to come to find out after the plan was modified for that grant application. So I have, it's not like I have a distrust in what I'm being told, but I think getting the direction, the information directly from the individuals involved versus through the third party, does that help eliminate a lot of the misinformation, misconfusion out there, how these grants can be applied for and that.
I agree.
So that's kind of where I stand for that, and why those parties involved in the decision-making process. Now with ad hoc, that's something I didn't touch on earlier, but I feel it's not going to be productive to waste the time figuring out who's going to chair that, who's going to make that up, when even they're going to need the information that we are needing right now. So the time is going to be well spent in obtaining this information and then seeing if it's viable going forward with that. But right now, I don't see it being viable.
I agree. And to follow up on that footprint, you know, Marty, you and Barb sat down and came up with an alternative, you know, right in the midst of all the controversy.
But that wasn't a change. That was a change after the grant got submitted. That's what Tim's talking about. Can we change after the grant's been submitted?
My point was that was a great solution.
Right. Because I've been told as a commissioner that the slip capacity cannot be increased within the footprint. So if that is true and Arvin Osh's response is directly to me, that's not a possibility.
Right.
Then maybe a different engineering firm that has the ability to make that. Two individuals can build an 800 square foot house, but one contractor might be able to utilize the 800 square foot a lot better than another individual on their designs and their competency. So that's where I want that information directly from Arvin Osh. If it's still a no and it's directly from them, then we can move forward potentially to someone else.
I agree.
Okay, let's move to public comment. So if you wouldn't mind, moving to the podium, you'd be limited to 5 minutes, state your name and address.
I'm just going to state my name and address for my seat. I'm Michelle Archer at 401 West Michigan Avenue, and I have a couple points of concern. It was brought up that we could get it on a ballot to vote. I think before you even begin or spin in place or start in another direction, does the public support this? Then we have to look at what are our terms that we're each using but having an entirely different meaning, footprint, when most of the people that I had discussion with say footprint. They mean no more bigger dots than what we have. They mean not adding extra dots. But then it was changed when Barb was giving her presentation of, oh, didn't we mean footprint was within the attenuators? We need clear definition on what it is and what the plan's going to be. And why take meetings, especially with expensive firms and everything, if the public doesn't even want it to proceed to build a bigger arena? And wouldn't new construction be if we just tore out the old docks and built new ones in the same size, no extra slips, no expansion out into the water? Let's just keep it as is. A nice small public arena. Let someone else build the environmental disaster on their part of the lake. Also, Harbor Master, and I agree with Marty, are we going to create another position, or are we going to have this person take it over? Because I believe, especially with the great changes we're going to have, either with replacement, expansion, whatever y'all finally decide, we need a harbor master that's experienced in exactly how a harbor is run. I have a lot of questions. Number one, no maintenance done. You know, a 20-year dock lasting 40 years, and it's falling apart. Where's the foresight in that? Are we going to have a new plan for this new dock, or are we just going to throw something up? And I don't see throwing good money out there just doing a temporary electrical fix and then having to go back through and totally reestablish the dock, firm it up, get a bigger electrical thing going. I mean, I guess where I'm getting frustrated is there needs to be, number one, does the public support this or not? Because eventually, if it isn't self-sufficient, we're going to be paying the tax dollars to keep this going. And, you know, let's get someone that's qualified or has some sort of degree in the environment or running a harbor docking business or whatever, not just someone to plug it in because we've already got an employee and we want this to be a little extra added interest there. You know, I really have issue with more bubblers and bubblers and bubblers. There are tons of articles online, as well as in journals dealing with the environment, that these bubblers are even miles away. The ice is becoming damaged by that and unstable. It warms the water. The fish are dying off because of these bubblers. We had a gentleman here that said the noise was incredible. It's like living in a garbage disposal that you hear one of those bubblers. I mean, what does Boyne City really want? I feel that I would personally like to see something ecologically sound done. What we have here is a disgrace. It's a pigsty out there at those decks that exist. People raised on social media the question of what is the city's liability if this is a city marina? And you got 100 people out there trotting up and down Dock E and it rapes into the lake and someone can't swim so they drown, or someone gets hit in the head and is permanently brain damaged from a breaking piece of dock. You know, I just personally, and I don't think I'm so far off from a lot of what the local people would like, is get this existing marina, even if you have to replace every dock that's there, find out how to do it as environmentally soundly as you can with this little disruption of it. Get it up to something that is safe, that we can be proud of, and why not have a little excellent marina than a big patch together, not maintained very well, shit show, excuse me, going on out there. And footprint, yes, we need to have a definition of what footprint is. Do you want to cram everything you can within the attenuators? A lot of people think that the footprint is what is already existing. I would rather see no construction out there, but I could support replacement of the existing structures, the same size. If you can divvy it up and get more bolts in there, fine. Don't make them any bigger any longer, because we don't want a big marina in this city. There are too many people that enjoy kayaking.
5 minutes, so if you want to get back, if you want to wrap it up.
I'm sorry, I think my point's pretty clear. Thank you.
Take care of it. I mean, this has been going on for years, And now you guys are addressing it? I don't understand that. I mean, that's not how you take care of a house. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Sandy Pritchard, 526 East Lincoln. Congratulations, you guys. Those are, you did an awesome job in each of your positions today in narrowing down potential path forward. One of the things I wanted to touch on right away, quick, while it's in my mind, was talking about the engaging Baker Tilly for the financials, because, you know, at the end of the day, how we fund this is a really big deal. And it occurs to me that the financial analysis that they did for the $1.6 million bond still provides you the answer of how much the existing 44 slips, the revenues that it would provide, assuming that EDOT is fixed, or DDOT rather. So at that rate, you have approximately $1.6 million between the, if you say, if you said half of the $1.6 million bond, which you said previously would be self-funding, that means $800,000 of that, theoretically. The $392,000, which is subject to question of whether DNR, what if they will allow that to be applied to, plus the $327,000 for the landside utilities, and you've got $284,000 in the marina fund. So you've got anywhere from $1.6 million to $1.8 million to play with. But there, and so if you follow my logic, you've got the math, at least, of what the revenues would be based on the existing footprint. I went back through the tape, and I understand the video, audio, and I want to touch briefly on electrical repair, and this is one thing we didn't quite get to, where we were talking in terms of $75,000 versus, what was it, $300 or something. What I'd like to point out is that $11,500 shows in both, so that needs to be taken out. $5,000 shows in both for system testing. So that takes it down to somewhere around $60,000 actual, based on their estimates, not a local contractor, whomever, just my logic. And today, I'd be curious to know how we're tracking on slip rentals versus year-to-date versus last year, because that's something that's got to factor in. We're going to 2023 without knowing. I mean, maybe it's 20 grand loss. Right now, we're projecting in the budget $65,000 revenue from transient slips. And I've been kind of eyeballing Doc B, and it's not seeing the occupancy. So when you're thinking about the electrical part of it, consider that it's not actually $75,000. It's somewhere south of 60 or less. Timing is important. And the question about getting SelectPile here, I think, is very important, because what she said in one of her, was that, talking about in the last 28th meeting, was that SelectPile was willing to work with us. And temporary, she said at one point, could be anywhere from 3 to 5 years, but she didn't get that far in the conversation. So that was an issue. The other thing on the grants, I wanted to mention, to consider, and this is where, again, we need to get waterways and ask them straight up. But if the $392,000 was for a new attenuator and Dock B, then a portion of that could be used, perhaps, as you said, for Dock E, or in a replacement of the existing attenuators, not having the big thing that goes out in water, but some portion thereof. It's a new build. It's an attenuator. So I suspect that there's some opportunity to still use the $392,000, if we ask the question. And in my opinion on the electrical, because I sat in that Waterways Commission meeting, we don't have any issue with going ahead and using that to repair. And Barb's words were, they understood we may need to do some of that for emergency repairs, when in fact the actual grant was emergency utility repair. So I think there's a lot of potential that the financial issue isn't as big, and the opportunity to go ahead and use some of that money would work. So if you got $1 million or $800,000 available in the bond, that's the match
for the 327,392, because we do have to come up with a match. So the finances may be there. You guys are rocking. You're doing a great job. Hopefully we'll get some great action items today. Thank you.
Anyone else?
We're approaching 24 East Main Street. First thing I want to say is I don't like grants. They want to tell you what you can do, when you can do, how long you can do it, all these stipulations on what you have to do if you're going to use this money. Another part of that is a grant is not free money. It's paid for by the taxpayer somewhere out around the area, nationwide, what have you. It's not free money. I think a lot of the responsibility for financing the repairs, the upgrades, needs to be put on the people that are going to use this thing. Now, Marty already stated, we're way low on our slip rails as far as how much it costs. And I agree. Now, a lot of the people that want to use it disagree with that. They don't want to pay more. They want to get in on it on the cheap because they think the city should pay for it. That's why the waiting list is so long. They want to get in on the cheap. If you were to double the rental rate, your waiting list would decrease by 50%. We could get into a way to earn more money quicker by auctioning slips off. I guess first come, first bid basis. They want them, they'll pay more. You're going to get a lot more money. Again, people are going to disagree with that because they don't want to pay more. But the expense of running this thing should not be put on the backbone of the citizens. It's got to, some way, somehow, in the future, be made to support itself. Now, they say we've been making $40,000 a year off of it. That $40,000 has not been put back into the maintenance, obviously. Or we would not be where we're at now. I don't think anybody's been stealing that money, but it would be interesting to know where that money went. Did it go back into the general fund? It certainly wasn't set aside, earmarked for use in the marina only. And it probably should have been, which is a mismanagement of marina funds. I don't know how far I want to go with that, but it's just a question to throw out there. I think I'll let that be enough to be said for right now. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Good afternoon. I'm John McCann, 6 West Main Street. I'm a boater, have been a boater, now retired boater, but I have a lot of experience boating all through Lake Michigan, Lake Huron, and a lot of other places too. And, you know, seems to me that we got half a dozen people that are very vocal against a marina expansion. But I think there's people that recognize that the marina is an important aspect of the town and brings money into the town and supports the town. I don't know what makes us think that we know more about marinas than all the other towns around here. I mean, the following towns all are smaller than us, and they all have a marina twice as large as us, at least some, one of them 4 times as large as us. But, you know, Northport, Elk Rapids, Cleveland, Sutton's Bay, St. Ignace, Rogers City, and maybe there's a few Marina is almost an embarrassment. I mean, it's a little itty bitty marina, 44 slips. We have, and it's well run for what it is, but, you know, boaters come here, they can't buy fuel, they can't do a pump out. All these other marinas, they have fuel and pump out capability. So, you know, I think the marina needs to be twice as large as what it is, personally. And I don't think it would take up hardly any view of the lake. We have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of feet of waterfront that provide good views to the lake. In terms of, some people mentioned like 60 and 80 foot boats, I bet we don't get a 60 foot boat but maybe once a month, and I bet we don't only have 80 foot boat once a season down here. They're just not coming here. And I don't think that they would, but if we have 60 or 80 foot slip, if that would increase those kind of boats coming here, I don't think so. The rental rate structure here is comparable with the rental rate structure, you know, throughout the area. The state really sets the rules on how much you pay. If you just wanted a broad brush idea of how much it costs for people that maybe don't have boats, don't recognize how much it costs, a seasonal slip here is about $100 a foot. If you have a 25 foot boat, you're going to plan on paying $2,500 for the summer season. 30-foot boat, $3,000. And the daily rate for a transient that comes in is probably in the, you know, or $2 a foot for one night or something. Yeah, so if you have a 30-foot boat, you come in, you've got to pay $60 roughly for a one night's lodging. And we should be embarrassed right now charging normal rates for dock D with no electricity. I mean, we're ripping people off with that, you know, by people not having access to any electricity to keep batteries charged. You know, some people don't have air conditioning on their boats. You know, it's just, to me, that's just not right, but we're charging them. So anyway, I think we could provide some minimal expansion of the marina without affecting the view virtually at all. That's my opinion.
Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. Well, one question has come up to me, Mike. Do we have to have a motion of any sort to allocate resources to engage with Adam Marsh or some of our consultants to get going here rather than waiting for the meeting? As I understand, our contract with Adam Marsh is done.
Pretty much, yeah.
And there's nothing outstanding, so do we need to allocate something to engage services with Adam Marsh for some of these things that you're talking about?
Probably, but I'm not sure exactly what that, what their costs would be or what their availability is.
Right.
You know, one of the things I'm thinking about as you're talking about this is, okay, when could they come out and meet with us?
Right.
And would they come up and have another discussion with us to set some of these things up?
Right. Oh,
and would there be a fee for it? I don't know that without asking that question. But we do have money budgeted for in the marina fund that we could allocate for those types of things, but what that amount would be at this point.
So you think we can make, I guess my question is, can we make progress without setting aside resources to pay for something?
I believe we can make some progress, yes. There may need to be another step at some point along the way to bring them in, to the additional services.
Okay, can you comment on that?
Sure, I would say, I would think that Adam Marsh would be more than willing and welcome to come and talk about everything that we've talked about with them, you know, knowing that in the end they're going to get a paycheck. If they're not willing to, after 15 years of dealing with this, and they're not willing to try and get this thing to an end without another written check, then I have no desire to even call them. At that point in time, I would say, let's move on and let's find another one. It was said by, Sandy, a lot of those things were sort of in play. It's sort of not the same what she was explaining, because the 1.6, it still included, part of the, going out the other side of the, and it wasn't a total rebuild of the marina basin. So it was the attenuators and then, expanding out. So, and we've been told all the way along, are there grants for rebuilding or are there not? Because at that point in time, then, it is a lot of that. So I guess, just to clarify your point, Hugh, I have no problem with them coming here, sitting down and saying, okay, let's go over this baby one more time. And if they're not willing to do that, then it's time to say bye.
Okay. Well, are you comfortable moving ahead then, contacting Abbott Marsh, contacting the Waterways Commission, and start getting answers to these questions?
Yeah, one big takeaway of Lake is there to be a directive given to Mike for a timeline follow-up on an extension request.
On the permit?
On the permit extension, yeah. So if you can figure that out and send an email to me as an individual commissioner or to the board itself on what our timeline is, because I do not want to come into a meeting with my back to the wall like I have been too many times. I think that's the most important takeaway, is figuring out extending that.
Could I make a suggestion that I would make a motion that Mike and Hugh work together, and if someone else wants, I'd be willing, Marty, Tim, Joe, I don't care, but a three-man team or a two-man team to contact the Army Corps of Engineer to find the answers, to contact the Waterway Commission to find the answers, to work with our local electrical contractor. Is not going to give us the answers. That's not his role. But we do have a PDF that we put out there, and we do have that information. So if we use that information to go out and get bids, engage Abbott Marsh with them. So everything we talked about, I guess what I'm asking, Mr. Mayor, is I'd be happy to put that in a motion with a two-week time period to make those contacts, so we can come back in 2 weeks. And it may not have to be an agenda item, but at least staff and us would have some direction with some answers. I would include our financial consultant too. I'm asking, do you want that in a motion? And my second question, do you want that to be Hugh? Do you want to lead that, and do you want one of us to help you?
Well, I can leave that up to our city manager to take the lead and to engage us as you see fit.
Okay.
Do you think that's appropriate?
Yes. I will say I agree with Tom. I would like an update on all of these. The most important being the extension deadline. Otherwise, this is all just, again, a wasted meeting, wasted conversation. But that being the most important one, but at least an update on each one of these action points consistently at every meeting going forward.
Yeah. I think you got it.
I think that's reasonable. Yeah. Is that reasonable within 2 weeks, Mike? Or at least come back with as much information that you can gather in 2 weeks?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want that in a motion?
I don't think it's necessary.
No, I think we can have clear direction.
Okay.
Yeah. I do.
I'd rather have a motion.
Well, make a motion then.
Okay. Well, I'll make a motion.
Oh, yeah. I'll make a motion that we direct administration to follow up with the Army Corps of Engineers in regards to the extension deadlines, communication with the Waterways Commission in the status of the approved grants and how far that would be used in regards to replace expand. I would contact with the electrical, the PDF, review the PDF, and find out how we go about getting a cost on electrical. A follow-up with Abbott Marsh to find an exact footprint and or options of footprints within the boundaries. And also a report with our financial consultant to give us some direction financially. These contacts would be within a two-week deadline. A report back with this information within a two-week deadline at our next meeting. That'd be my motion.
Is there a second?
Support. And I'm willing to, if you want to. Okay, you got support. Okay.
I didn't say, would you like to add the rate conversation in that? Because our timeline, like you said, is going to blow by, and then it will be next year or going forward. We can't touch them because the DNR system won't allow us. Because that's what we approach. That's what we were faced with earlier this year.
Yes.
During the budgeting process.
I missed that, Tim. What part?
So, just reviewing the rates. Whether we're going to get to that.
Oh, the rates. I'm sorry.
Two-third rate now, or if we're going to get to the third, what that looks like, how in depth you'd like to go with that. But I know when we brought it up during the budgeting process, we were told hands off because of the timeline structure of it.
I would add to my motion a review of the rates that we charge in regards to next year, in regards to timelines, in regards to where we flow on the recommended prices from the state.
Did you second his motion? Marty, are you okay with that motion?
Yeah. No, thanks for Tim for catching.
Yeah, because we do need that. Any other discussion before we have a vote? Jessica, roll call, please.
Nemechek.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Moody.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Lassiter.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you. Moving on to...
Excuse me. I'd like to ask the commission, is there any plan at all to allow the citizenry to vote on it once you collect all this information? It's still a basic thing. You know, who knows? Maybe go through...
You had an opportunity.
Yeah.
We think it's important in the future to move in that direction. I'm not sure we will. But I appreciate your comment. Okay, moving on to new business, we have the 2023 patrol SUV purchase, which has been pulled from the agenda because there's some new information that will be presented at a later meeting. So we move to item B, employee health insurance agent change. Consider the recommendation from City Manager Michael King to authorize staff to proceed with using the Meadowbrook Insurance Agency as the city's agent in securing and administering employee health, dental, vision, and related coverages going forward. Mike?
Yes, as part of the city's labor agreements and personnel practices, we have a committee that annually reviews our proposed health, dental, and vision and related insurances for our full-time employees to see if they continue to best meet our needs or if there's any changes that should be considered. This committee is made up of representatives of our police bargaining unit, the DPW water wastewater bargaining unit, non-union employees, and management. This year, as we went into our rate increases, we were hit with double-digit rate increases for the first time in a number of years. Our recent rate history prior to this has been pretty reasonable increases, usually around 3-6%. As part of this year's review, the committee felt it would be beneficial to reach out to other agents who help other organizations in looking at various providers and securing the best combination of coverages and price. The city has been using Cortez Flynn as our insurance for well over 20 years. In reaching out and interacting with other agents in the course of our review, reviewing our options this year, it was a strong consensus of the committee that it would be beneficial to change our agent to Meadowbrook Insurance Agent out of Southfield. They work with the same insurance providers that we currently have, as well as many others, so there will be no disruption in coverages, and they can shop as well to ensure that we have the best packages. They work with many other governmental agencies across the state, including the City of East Jordan, who has been very happy with them. There is no direct cost to the city or its employees in switching agents, since their services are covered by fees provided by the actual insurance carrier. Like for our health insurance, our insurance carrier is Priority Health, and they have a way to pay them directly. If approved by the city commission, the change in agents would happen at the first of the month, August 1st, and would run until we felt there was a need for making another change. This would provide ample time for the new agent to be well positioned to research and provide us options in advance of our upcoming renewals. So it's a recommendation that the city commission authorize staff to proceed using Meadowbrook Insurance Company as the city's agent and securing employee health, dental, vision, and related coverages going forward. I should mention in the review this year, we reached out to a number of agents, again, working with Cortez Flynn, Meadowbrook. We had another agent that was suggested to us through the AFSCME bargaining unit, but they weren't able to help us out much with regards to that. This process started probably in November last year, and we've been working with Darrell Lohr with Meadowbrook Insurance. Since that time, he's kind of been helping us work our way through what options the city may have, timelines in doing this, how we should be rated, things of that nature. But to go any further, there's only one company that can be our agent of record, and currently that's Cortez Flynn. So if we wanted to do something significantly different and try somebody else, we should have a new agent of record. And that's what, if the commission approved the motion today, or the recommendation today, that's what would be happening. Again, there's no long-term commitment to this, but after meeting with all the employee groups at many, many meetings, this was their strong recommendation. I'd be glad to answer any questions the commission may have.
Any comments or questions from the public? Okay.
I don't. I appreciate the fact that this is, you know, finally being addressed. And I think, you know, with the employees being on board and agreeing with you, Mike, I have no problem with it. And look forward to a new change of base and saving the city some money.
Thanks, Martin. George?
I'm just really curious, more than anything, what is the beneficial, I guess, the benefit of changing to the Meadowbrook?
The employees felt that there'd be a more responsive service from them with regards to shopping, various programs to make sure we have the best price, to make sure that we're rated properly, so that whether we're a large or small employer, with regards to that. And one of their concerns was making sure that the information was provided to them sooner than it has been in the past, so they had more time to make informed decisions.
Thanks. Okay. Is there a problem with the insurance? No. Okay. Tom?
I'm in full support.
Okay.
I'm in full support. When I first was going through this, I was trying to figure out exactly George's question, what's the financial benefit, what is the underlying reasoning for the recommendation here. I reached out to a few city employees, and they all said that they are strongly in favor of switching agents. Just for clarification, so the agent would be switching effectively August 1st.
Correct.
But policy provider potentially wouldn't be even considering switching until the beginning of the year, correct?
Until our policy renewal is up.
Correct. Right. Both. And that's when you might be able to catch the savings?
Correct.
Depending on what this new agent can provide.
Correct. And again, I don't want to overpromise, you know, going up for lots of things, as we all know right now. So I'm not saying that there's going to be a reduction in cost or, you know, actual savings in that respect. But we want to make sure that we're getting the best deal for the best coverage that we can get for all our employees. Right. And that's what they felt that we would have a better chance of doing, working with Meadowbrook Insurance at this time.
Yep, I'm in full support. What I wrote down here after speaking with several employees, they feel that they would be providing a lot better services for this new agent. So.
I'm in complete support as well, so if I entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion that the City Commission authorize staff to proceed with using Meadowbrook Insurance Agency as the city's agent in securing and administrating employee health, dental, vision, and related coverage going forward effective August 1st.
Is there a second?
Second.
Jordan, second. Any further discussion? Jessica?
Moody.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Lassiter.
Aye.
Nemechek.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay, thank you. Time to go to the order. Commissioners, anything?
When we were having correspondence back and forth in regards to commissions with the attorney and that, one of the things that was provided was that there needs to be a resolution appointing a commissioner to the Planning Commission. I'm not contesting Tom being on the Planning Commission. I just want to make sure we are crossing our T's and dotting the I's, and I would like to have a resolution putting Tom on the commission. That way, no one can come back at us for not doing what is appropriate.
Good point. So
you want to add that for the next agenda?
Yeah. Or
why does you order your designee?
Pardon me?
The way the charter is, do you order your designee? Your designee.
The way the charter reads is that he makes the recommendation to the board, and then the board approves that resolution appointing one of us to the Planning Commission.
Right.
Is the way I understood the letter.
There's kind of a separate appointment with one of the commissioners.
Right, or what there is.
We never made an official, Tom was officially with the last commission, but not the current commission of, so it's, well, do you have different options?
I have no problem with the concept, but I would think that it's not necessary because policy is already being set. It doesn't matter which commission sets the policy. So my appointment was set by the last commission. When we get reappointed,
every election
we should
reappoint. It's right in the charter. Every
election.
Yeah, that's how.
Well, that actually every mayoral change.
Yes.
Every 2 years.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So you can do that.
I thought we had done it.
Yeah, I kind of went back and checked after I came to read it before, and I don't think officially we did that.
We can put that up to the next meeting.
Okay.
Are we good then with every appointee on every other board?
From my understanding, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we are.
Okay.
George, you have anything?
No, sir.
Martin?
Yeah, two. One was, so the cleaning contractors that we have throughout town for the bathrooms, they're on duty all year long.
Correct.
Correct. And for holidays?
Yes.
Okay. Because there was a lot that was missed on holidays in the bathrooms and stuff. I had numerous complaints about no supplies to the bathrooms and stuff like that.
Like on the 4th of July?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I hadn't heard of any.
Yeah. Second one, I actually have three.
Okay.
Second one would be, thanks Dennis, thanks Kevin, thank you Bonnie, thank you Scott, for always being at our meetings, the department heads. I'm really remiss that ever since we hired this gentleman that we have not seen our DPW director at one single meeting. And I would appreciate that him being a department head. I sincerely believe these people all take times out of their busy days. And I'm real proud that I have been here. Lastly, John's gone. He hasn't said anything about it in a long time. But we talked about it February, January, I can't remember. But the atrium corner looks like crap. It always looks like crap. We said we were going to take care of it, and it still hasn't been taken care of.
And from that end of town, it's one of those first entries into town where you go, ah, this is a nice, oh no, I guess it's not such a nice place. And I think that needs to be addressed. We said it was going to be addressed. I would like to make sure that it gets addressed. And maybe we could give that message back to the DPW director because he's not here.
Do you have any?
No.
Okay, I don't either. So,
under
announcements, our next regular city commission meeting is scheduled for August 9th at 7 p.m. We have the city commission short-term rental work session scheduled for August 16th at 5:30 p.m. So now we'll do the motion.
I'll make a motion, Your Honor.
Second. Support. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed?